Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey, brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. And as I often thank you for sharing the podcast, and that's because of you and under God's sovereignty and his driving this thing, it's getting out there. So praise God. Thank you. We've got Scott Shera in studio, and he's got a brand new book that we're going to be talking about. Let's bring up the cover before we talk about the conference. There it is. Is the government legally killing us? We'll get into some of the medical malpractice and what we've taken for granted for years in a minute. But first, the Worldview Matters Conference. I just want to mention our sponsors and just thank our sponsors. It's just such a blessing to get this, not only the support from the body of Christ, but Christian businesses or ministries that are behind what we're trying to do. And we are looking for more sponsors. So if you're interested, go to the website, worldviewmattersconference.com. There's a link for sponsors at the top right. Bring up that page, Jeff, and I just want to thank Harbingers Daily, the big ones, Harbingers Daily, Legacy Church, Freedom Project Academy, the Family Radio Network, Fearless Features. Those are some of the big ones. And then we've got many others, including Verlo Mattress, NCLED Lighting, His Sword Ministries, Liberty Sentinel, thank you, Alex Newman, and Lighthouse Christian Books, One Way Christian Church, Berkovitz Mechanical, Fearless Features, Mark and Amber Archer, DeLore Chiropractic, and Grace Christian Academy. What did I leave out? Scott Shera's OurAmazingGrace.net. These people are such a blessing to me in these ministries, churches. And so, friends, if you know someone, a business that may be interested in supporting the conference, please let me know. We've got less than 2 months to get the word out, May 1st and 2nd, and a lot of great speakers coming to town. Like Scott's going to be there. You're going to be presenting. Welcome to the studio again, brother.
It is so good to see you. You know, you are the one that got me launched at the beginning.
Yep. I had you on. We talked about what happened with Grace, and man, was that an eye opener for me.
Yeah.
And I think was that late 2021.
Yeah, it was in December of
2021. Okay, this is very interesting, and this is kind of a side note from what we're going to talk about, because you got your brand new book. I was still at that time. We were moving from out in the country to in a residential neighborhood, and we moved just over four years ago. During the move, I still didn't know what was going on with Rosanna, my wife.
Yeah,
I still didn't know. I was noticing symptoms, noticing confusion, noticing neurological issues, her irregularity. And boy, were we on a journey for that next 9 months to figure out what the heck happened. And I, during that time, that interviewed you about Grace's death in the hospital with the awful the protocols and everything like that. Boy, did I learn a lot quickly. But so, Scott, we have new viewers and listeners. Praise God. Every time you come in, and Scott's local. That's why we love to have him in the studio. But every time you come in, there are more people that maybe don't know your story, maybe don't know. Let's start with what happened to Grace and how you jump from your 19-year-old daughter who's high-functioning and had Down syndrome and then went into the hospital during COVID. What happened and what led to this book? Is the government legally killing us?
Well, that's you gave me a mouthful to unpack. Yeah. And I'll do my best, but if I forget something, I want you to re-ask the question.
Will
so
do.
Grace was a gift from God. We'll just start with
Amen.
That. Somebody with Down syndrome, you know, if Cindy and I ever play the role of Abraham and Sarah, I would want another child with Down syndrome. That's how special she was.
Wow.
She was the best thing God ever gave us, second to salvation. And she was my best buddy. She was only 19 when she went home. And she went home on October 13th of 2021. Mm. And I met you 2 months later. Well, so why did she go home so early? So during this thing that we're going to call COVID, we'll just label it that for argument's sake, we didn't know anything about, you know, was this a pandemic? Was it a scam? What was it? And so we didn't just roll over to the government narrative. We followed a different protocol from the FLCCC, Frontline COVID Critical Care Doctors. Okay. And that protocol said to monitor your oxygen. If it goes below 94%, admit yourself to the hospital. And we did that. Grace's oxygen went to 88%, and so we just went to the hospital. She was fine. She just had a cold. And her and I entered the emergency room on October 6th at 2:10 in the afternoon, and her last breath was at 7:27 on October 13th, 7 days later. Hmm. And what happened during that hospital stay, we didn't know, you know, it's hard to unpack until you dig into the records, but we had a clue because the day Grace died, a nurse walked Cindy out of the hospital when she was in a wheelchair, you know, after Grace went to the undertaker and all of that. And she leaned down and said, "Mrs. Shara, me and several of the nurses don't think Grace should have died today."
Hmm.
And so consequently, Cindy and I have a friend that graduated from high school with who's a doctor. I contacted her and she said, "Scott, I think you better get the medical records." Her and I sat down, we went through those records and pieced together what happened. And we came to grips real quick that Grace died of a med combination, Precedex, lorazepam, and morphine. And not only that, when it came time to revive Grace, at this point, I had already been taken out of the hospital by an armed guard, which, you know, that's another rabbit trail. But yeah. Jessica, our daughter, was in the room with Grace. Mm-hmm. She called Cindy and I on a FaceTime call panicking, and we started screaming, "Save our daughter." We had no idea. I mean, that morning we had a positive call from the doctor, the prognosis, let's get Grace out of bed today, get her on nutrition so that we can get her home in the next several days. And all of a sudden, you know, that's at 10 o'clock in the morning, 7 p.m., we're watching Grace die.
Wow.
And the nurses scream back from outside the room, "She's DNR, do not resuscitate." And we scream, "She's not DNR, save our daughter."
Let's clarify this point. Your family never requested the DNR, do not resuscitate. You never signed anything that wasn't your intention, correct?
That's 100% correct.
Yeah.
And that's one of the many reasons that we filed the first wrongful death lawsuit in the country with COVID as the cause of death on the death certificate. Grace did not die of COVID. She died from the med combination and then the refusal to revive her because of this illegal do not resuscitate order.
And for those that are not familiar with the cocktail of drugs, lethal drugs, Precedex, lorazepam, and morphine, which, according to what I've heard you say before, the package inserts warn, do not use this combination together? I just paraphrase, but...
They're contraindicated.
What does that mean?
That means you're not supposed to use them together. In fact, the package insert for morphine says that if you do combine those meds, you're supposed to monitor the patient and keep the reversal drug bedside. After they gave Grace morphine, the doctor and nurse left the room, left her to die.
And they did not have a reversal drug, correct?
That's correct. It's hard to even grasp. Our medical expert at the trial, Dr. Gilbert Burdine, he had never worked for a plaintiff before. I was the plaintiff for the trial. He had only worked representing doctors on the defense. And the reason he represented us is when he reviewed Grace's records, he thought, this is the most egregious case I've ever seen. So I'm going to represent the plaintiff. He didn't take a penny. And relative to the morphine, when they gave Grace morphine, she had an undetectable blood pressure, according to the records. And Dr. Burdine said, this is the worst clinical decision he's ever seen in 46 years of medical practice.
Just let that sink in. This is a doctor that's been almost 50 years in practice, and that was the worst clinical decision that he'd ever seen. What's his name again?
Dr. Gilbert Burdine.
Okay, so I want to read from the book regarding Precedex usage. He said, the only solution recommended by any of the physicians named as defendants in this case for the observed agitation of Grace was chemical sedation starting with Precedex. He said Precedex was not safe for Grace Shara at an infusion rate greater than 0.7 micrograms or kilograms per hour. It does not matter what the prior experience of anyone has been with other patients. Can you explain that for us a little bit more?
Well, the reason that's important is because one of the things I've uncovered in the research I've done since Grace's death is the diagnosis has become the patient. So they're not looking at the patient. Grace had 12 different reactions to Presidex, all documented in the record. But they kept, that's why Dr. Berdine went out of his way to point out, you cannot just say this is normal. Mm-hmm. This is a low dose of Presidex, so it's normal. No, some people have reactions. And Grace had 12 different reactions that are all documented in the Presidex package insert. So he went out of his way to explain, you can't just say that this is normal. You have to look at the patient.
So let me ask you this. I don't remember if I asked you this before. He used the word agitation. I know Grace was getting maybe anxious, agitated. Do you think part of their decision was because she had Down syndrome and she was getting agitated and they couldn't, like you and I, they might be able to say, now Scott, you know, calm down, take it easy. And but maybe Grace couldn't get there because she was so upset with what she was feeling.
Yeah, fantastic question. I was with Grace from October 6th through the morning of the 10th. Grace was not agitated, but the records, the medical records, said she was agitated. And when you get into a trial situation, the legal standard is the records are called prima facie evidence, which means they stand unless you can prove otherwise. And so because they documented Grace as agitated, that becomes the state. And they also documented, this is, so this will give you a, so that you might think, well, maybe she was agitated, Scott. Why was there? Okay, well, here's an example. The doctor, the admitting physician, he said that Grace had conductive hearing loss. Okay, that got carried through all through the records through Grace's last day on earth. Grace didn't have hearing loss. She wasn't agitated, but they have to have a reason. So for example, with morphine, they said they gave her morphine for pain. Well, the nurse documented that Grace was somnolent. She was out cold when they gave her morphine. So, I mean, but they document this stuff. So you, I mean, we come to the table thinking that, people are always telling the truth. The records don't lie.
Yeah.
It's simply not true. And, you know, it's part of the reason I as I have studied what I've learned and compared to what I know with scripture, one of the whoppers that Satan has sold is that we're inherently good.
Hmm.
And we believe that as a society. Well, it's simply not true. I mean, God tells us we're inherently bad and in desperate need of a savior.
So you just answered one of the questions I was going to ask, because I thought, you know, most Americans will give someone in the medical profession the benefit of the doubt. They studied, they went through school, they know what they're doing. As you say, trust the white coat.
Correct.
We're programmed to trust them no matter what, almost. And very seldom do you hear someone warn, do you have an advocate when you go into the hospital? Is there someone that could represent you or speak for you or if something goes haywire? But you say, I think this is a quote from the book. Blinded by medical programming, some have little idea they're doing the dirty work. Now, does that mean hospital workers, nurses, doctors, some really think they're helping the patient?
Some actually do, right? Because if you go all the way back to 1910, that's when the Flexner Report became the norm. The Flexner Report introduced conventional or allopathic medicine. It threw all other modalities under the bus. And subsequent to the Flexner Report, the Rockefellers took over the medical schools. So all the training is in this allopathic medicine model. So that's why many of these people are unwitting participants. They've just been programmed for so long.
Okay.
But then the population's also programmed. So you have this marriage between the programming of the medical system and the population. We have a fear of death. Right?
Yeah.
So then we are blindly told the doctors sign an oath, first do no harm. That's another lie. But what, just process this. So let's say, David, at your home, you want to get your windows washed. So you look in the yellow pages, I'm dating myself, and you find, okay, well, this is Acme Company. So you call Acme Company, and what do? You want to have somebody come out and give you an estimate, right?
Yeah.
And then if the worker who's cleaning the windows, let's say that he broke one of the windows, you would expect him to pay for it.
Or right? Replace it.
Or replace it, right? I mean, that's just that's so obvious. Okay, well, in the medical profession, they don't disclose pricing. And if they make a mistake,
they have no consequences. Our jury trial showed that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but we've allowed that.
Yes.
How do we, why do we treat the window washer different than the doctor? That's why the subtitle of the book says, have we become accomplices to evil? And yes, we're accomplices to this evil scheme because we allowed it to happen.
Hmm. Okay, so the heart of man is evil, wicked, beyond cure. That's what the Bible teaches. And by the way, you did mention fear of death. Now, in context, Christians praise God when we die because we know we're going to be with Jesus. So we don't fear death like someone who is a non-believer, but we don't want to be sick and die if we can prevent that, if we can still spend time with our family and do the Lord's work while we're here. So it's not a fear, like, but I know what you mean. So let's talk about the money factor, Scott. And I know we're jumping around quite a bit because we've talked about this before.
Right.
That's where the evil comes in. That's where you can maybe put in the word complicit. That's where you can put in the word corrupt when it comes to the big pharma, big medical system, because we learned from COVID, the government was paying off hospitals. And you can bring up whatever you'd like about that, because I think a lot of people need to be reminded that even though doctors are trained to do whatever they do to help people when they're sick, they were getting money for certain diagnosis, COVID, the COVID diagnosis, and also for ventilators. Go ahead and share whatever you'd like about that, because that is corruption. That's a payoff. That's something that's not in the best interest of the patient.
That's right.
But that was going on.
So I'll start with, it's interesting, I was on Mary Talley Bowden's show this morning before I came here, and during COVID, she saved 6,000 patients, and she did the math that if she would have just jabbed the 6,000 patients instead of treating them, she'd have an extra $1.5 million today, and I have that quote in the book. Anyway,
wow.
You know, let's just talk about COVID first, but because it gives you a landing page to zoom out to the bigger picture, because COVID was set up. And the bigger picture is what set up COVID. But during COVID, some things happened differently. And hospitals were incentivized directly. So I'm emphasizing the word directly here versus indirectly. So we're going to come back to indirectly.
Okay.
So they were incentivized directly during COVID. So what do I mean? Well, first of all, hospitals were advanced money by the federal government before they ever had a COVID patient. So then they were incentivized to make sure you had a COVID diagnosis or they'd have to pay back the money. Okay? Very few people understand that. Well, then they were incentivized for things that were known to kill. Remdesivir had a 75% kill rate, ventilators a 90% kill rate, and the payout for a ventilator, when you add in the average stay somebody was on a ventilator before they died was 22 days, is a $300,000 payoff.
For one patient?
For one patient. Oh. I disclosed in the book for the first time, I've never had done this publicly, but I disclosed in the book that Grace's hospital stay, the hospital's only making $1,621 a day. And so when we turned down the pre-authorization for a ventilator, there was a financial motive to turn the bed.
And so what does that mean? That means she's not bringing the hospital money, so let's get a different patient in that bed. But what can they do with her if she's still sick?
Yeah,
and that's what happened.
And, you know, our trial was not a murder trial. It was not about intention.
Right.
And, you know, of course, I'm speculating with that. But, I mean, it's pretty obvious when you look at the numbers, $1,621 versus a patient in the ER that will submit to the ventilator protocol. So, I mean, this is a financial temptation that only a Christian person with roots would have not dealt with.
I'm glad you put it that way. It is a financial temptation, and you know the heart of man. If you're not a believer in Christ and you don't have morals or integrity, or you know, you just want money, you'll do whatever you can to get more money, and that includes at the expense of other human beings. And that's what we saw during Charlie Vector David 19er. We got to say that sometimes, otherwise we'll get deleted, shadow banned, censored. Charlie Vector David 19er. So Scott, one thing, did you have anything more?
Yes, I wanted
to
So then on top of that, if because of COVID was declared a public health emergency, as long as the hospital followed those protocols, they had immunity from liability under the PREP Act.
Oh.
So you think, how did we possibly get a lawsuit during with COVID on the death certificate, Grace was never on remdesivir or a ventilator. If she was, we would have not had a lawsuit. So now let's zoom out from COVID.
Wow.
Because the indirect control of the medical system has been happening since the early 80s. So the direct was COVID, the indirect since the early 80s.
Okay.
And how they have pulled this off is through standards of care. And I'm going to share a story with you to connect the dots.
Okay.
This was back when we still had conventional medical insurance. I was 55 years old in May of 2018. And the insurance company said, hey, if you go to the doctor, you can have a full physical for $300. So, you know, men, we can't turn down the deal. Go to the, I get the physical. And the doctor says to me, do you want to do a CT scan of your heart? I said, well, I don't have any reason to. He said, well, we're running a special. It's normally $2,000. It's only $80. So I said, sure.
My goodness.
So I do the CT scan. They call me the next day. You need to come in immediately. And so I go into the doctor's office, and they said, you have a calcium score of 1,200, and that's the OMG level. And so I think, okay, well, what caused this? And they told me, you have high cholesterol. So what's the solution? The statin.
Oh,
okay. So then
of course.
I didn't just roll over. I called the same doctor that Cindy and I graduated with from high school. And I said, Sue, this is what's going on. She said, my husband just had a heart attack. I've been researching. I'll send you some stuff. So I start digging in. I read a book by Dr. William Davis called Undoctored and found out cholesterol is a scam. It's not even in the top 10 of the causes of heart disease. And the statin causes dementia. So I go to the doctor with my research, and I said, I'm not going to do the statin. He was gracious. I mean, it was decent. I mean, he said, what you have learned is 10 years ahead of what I know. The nurse walked me out, and here's the secret I reveal in the book. The nurse walked me out and said, Scott, I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear. I said, well, what is it? She said, you have to take the statin. I said, what are you talking about? I don't have to do anything. She said, our Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement rates are based on what percentage of our patient population follows the standard of care. And the standard of care for heart disease at your level is the statin. I said, I'm not on Medicare and Medicaid. She said, you didn't hear me. She said, it's based on our patient population. So if enough people like you reject what we're recommending, the recommended protocol, we have to fire you as a patient to keep our reimbursement rates up. And that is how the federal government, so if you walk through this, the federal government, through the Chevron doctrine that came the equivalent of law in 1984, now bureaucracies control. So CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, is a federal bureaucracy. And through reimbursement rates, they control the entire allopathic medical system in the entire country.
Mm. Well, we wanted to get to the standard of care deception.
And that we just did.
We did.
We just nailed it.
And we talked, I think the last, maybe two podcasts ago with you, we did drill down on that a little bit more, standards of care. And I know we talked about this before one time, Scott, but I forgot about the PREP Act.
Yeah.
Can you briefly, we've got 5 minutes left.
Yeah, so the PREP Act became legislation in December of 2005. And they always do this. You know, whenever there's important legislation that they don't want the public to know about, they do it between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it was part of a defense appropriations bill. And it was absolutely necessary to have the PREP Act in place to pull off COVID. And so the PREP Act, if you just connect the dots, so in 1980, the Health and Human Services Department was born, and through a series of laws in the 80s and 90s, they gave the HHS secretary unilateral authority to declare a public health emergency. And once there's a public health emergency, the PREP Act takes over.
Wow.
So all this was set up way in advance of COVID.
Yep. Yep. And that makes sense how we saw what many have said was the perfect storm. During Charlie Vector David One-Niner.
Well, that's why the title is the government legally killing us?
Killing
so
us.
It is legal. What they're doing, this is all legal. Obamacare Section 1553, you and I have talked about before, that yep. legalized euthanasia on March 23rd of 2010.
Your book is on Amazon. It's already number one in a couple different categories. Friends, look up Scott Scherer by Grace's Dad. Is the government legally killing us. Look that up. Scott, briefly, for those that didn't hear your update on the court case last time you were with us, we've got 3 minutes left. I know you're really good at condensing the bullet points for us. What happened?
We filed the lawsuit on April 11th of 23. Grace died October 13th of 21. Mm-hmm. When you file a lawsuit, you have to have claims. Our claims were wrongful death, medical malpractice, lack of informed consent, medical battery, and a declaratory judgment for the illegal DNR. You walk through a number of motions to dismiss. During that time, all the claims survived. Okay. So, I mean, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
So all the claims went to the jury trial. The jury trial was June 2nd through the 19th, 2025. May 19th and 20th was the pretrial. During a big cases all have a pretrial. During the pretrial, something significant happened, and I'm going to come back to that. So the trial, June 19th, the verdict came down. The verdict was for the hospital. So we lost 11-1. This is what they decided. The defense, through their experts, said that by being in a hospital, you're giving implied consent. The drugs that euthanized Grace were normal in an ICU, so no informed consent is necessary. Doctors are not even required to inform the family of overdoses. Grace had three, wow. October 7th, 8th, and the last one. Their experts said that a do not intubate, so we did not give a pre-authorization for a ventilator, yeah. That's do not intubate. That's the same as a DNR. And a doctor can unilaterally place a DNR on a patient without consent, without a witness, without a signature, and without a DNR bracelet. So that's what they decided.
That's
so
scary.
We should be like, what? And, you know, yeah. The press I saw afterward was about, this is a new precedent. And I have bluntly gone on the record and said, this has nothing to do with a new precedent. What they did was certify what they've been doing for decades.
Yep.
That's what's going on here.
Yep.
And I can prove it. And I did it in the book, Beyond a Shadow of a Doubt. So then I'm going to go back to May 20th. So I filed a motion for a new trial on October 29th based on what happened on May 20th at the pretrial. The judge denied our motions in limine. Those are the things we don't want in the trial. So our two were my religious beliefs and the research done post Grace's death. The judge unilaterally denied those without even hearing a syllable. So the defense was able to paint me as a religious conspiracy nut at the trial. That's why I filed a motion for a new trial. We had a hearing December 19th, and the motion was denied. So our legal stuff is done.
Yep, it's done. Ouramazinggrace.net, friends, is the website, ouramazinggrace.net. And by the way, how many people over 55 on the jury?
I would say that there was three.
Oh, I thought there was
three.
Only one.
Well, it's hard for me to judge because...
Okay. Basically, what we're saying is there was a lot of younger people on the jury. What are younger people conditioned and programmed to believe? The narrative on COVID that the left put out. Anyway, Scott Schara, always a blessing to have you in studio. We'll see you again, if not before, but at the conference in Green Bay.
I can hardly wait.
May 1st and 2nd. Friends, God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. We'll see you next time.